to The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to The Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday, the 2nd of April. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello. I'm so lucky, Paul Andrews. I was given this gorgeous purple haze I'm drinking.
Purple haze?
Yeah, my kids found that very amusing.
It's all in your mind.
Yeah.
And it's from Maria Bradford Kitchens.
Not from Prince, then?
No. Prince is dead, isn't he?
Yeah, but that's why I thought you were washing his bottle of purple haze about.
This is gorgeous. It's lavender and coconut water.
It's purple haze.
Yeah.
Purple haze.
Yeah, but she...
if I'd have known that, I would have played Tuesday Tunage.
Well, you should have done.
Hmm.
But it's mariabradfordkitchen.com, and I highly recommend it. It's very mellow. And after that chilli and all that garlic...
You're doing product placement on my show, aren't you?
Might be, yeah.
I spotted that.
She asked me to mention it, but she sent me
purple haze, what is... Is it birch water or something?
No, it's gorgeous. It's lavender and coconut water, Paul Andrews.
Lavender and coconut water?
Yeah.
Okay.
I say the lavender and coconut water.
Lavender and coconut water. From the West Country, is it? Are you?
No, it's from Kent.
Oh, so why are you talking like a wench?
I don't know, because you said lavender.
Why are you talking like a wench if it's from Kent? We don't talk like that in Kent. We talk like that, don't we, eh?
What upsets me about Kent, what is it with... People are coming through school. I'm getting a bit uppity now. So people are coming through, young people are coming through school saying, we wasn't, was we? Why don't the teachers correct them? Because how can they write we wasn't?
Because they don't know.
People are writing we wasn't. And they're going all through school. So I'm talking to adults in Whitstable going, we wasn't, was we? And it worries me.
They type text talk.
Well,
but the teachers aren't correcting it. They seem to think it's a colloquial accent, and it's not an accent. It's bad grammar. Sorry, it really upsets me.
Thank you for that.
It's a bit like people saying awesome. Don't say awesome in front of me. Because
well, that was awesome. Thank you.
Awesome is when you go on the moon, you know, in a rocket. That's awesome. Awesome is not just...
I've got an awesome tweet here.
Coming on Business Bunker is nearly awesome.
Talking about writing and stuff, I've got this awesome tweet here.
Yeah, have you?
Wasn't I?
was you?
It's from Wendy Jennings, yeah. And she says, it's official. I am now a proper published author. The final tweaks to the shopping cart on my new website are being done. And then From Cancer to Coddywumple will be available to order online. And what a journey it's been. And her Twitter handle is WJ Coddywumple. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
Say that again.
Coddywumple. And I have discovered I am a Coddywumple as well. Yeah. Mm. I am a Coddywumple. Because do you know what Coddywumple means?
Well, I'm thinking, what is it like a cross between a womble and a cauliflower?
Yeah, Coddywumple, CODDIWOMPLE, Coddywumple.
Do tell.
Yeah, I'm a Coddywumple.
Yeah.
It is my entire business philosophy as a Coddywumple. A Coddywumple is someone that sets off in a very determined fashion to a very vague destination.
And is it a real word?
No, yeah.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Coddywumple.
So, Wendy Jennings has published a book, From Cancer to Coddywumple. Do check it out. Follow her on the Twitter, WJ Coddywumple on the Twitter, and read about her book. It's a really insightful book.
I'm glad you corrected your word on the Twitter then, because you missed out the W on the previous link.
Did I?
You listened back, it was worrying.
I missed out the W of what? Twitter?
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah. Go figure.
Blimey. I used to know a joke about that, but I can't do it on the radio.
No, you mustn't. We've already been banned on many stations.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I would like to say, Paul Andrews, a very big hello to Chris Hyde.
Yeah, I saw Chris's tweet.
He's been
a
guest on the Business Bunker. He's been through it, Sue and Lawrence, and lived.
Yeah.
To tell the tale. And he was watching the video of Sue. Did you know I was videoing you?
No.
Yeah, you're all out there now.
Oh, Chris has corrected me quite rightly, too. Chris is an 80s music maven, Buff. And he does a podcast as well, which you need to listen to, and he's quite rightly told me it was Jimi Hendrix that did Purple Haze. Exactly. Of course it was. Oh. Prince did Purple Rain. Prince did Purple Rain. I knew there was something wet and purple in it.
That's why I was looking all vague.
Yeah.
I was too busy swigging as well.
Yeah.
But hello, Chris. Yeah, hello to you, and you're always welcome back. I didn't know he does a podcast. What's his podcast?
I will find it for you in a moment.
Is it on Channel Radio?
No. He podcasts it out.
So he's not on Channel Radio. Chris, how dare you?
We've had a GIF from Martin White as well, who says, I'm not listening to the show because, and the GIF says, it's awesome.
Oh, Martin. I use the word awesome a lot. Sorry.
Well, yeah, so do I.
Please don't,
yeah.
Darling. It's very American. It's my other bugbear. I'm a bit of a snob. My other bugbear is, how are you? What do people say now? I'm good.
Right. Let me tell you about Chris's podcast, because he's brilliant. It's a music podcast. It's called The Taking Off Podcast. You can follow him on the Twitter at T-O-W Cindy, S-I-N-D-I-E. Yeah. T-O-W S-I-N-D-I-E. Toe Cindy, The Taking Off Podcast.
I will listen and I will learn. Mm. Let's go back to that. So how are you, Sue?
Great, thanks.
Yeah, that's lovely. And that's really nice. But I had to think about it, though.
But we've started
going, I'm good. We've started going, I'm good. I'm good. It's American.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm having problems with you and that mic. Can you move on to the purple one?
Normally prefer it when I'm muted.
Can you move on to the Jimi Hendrix mic, please?
You prefer it when I'm quieter, don't you?
I do, and I've been enjoying the last hour of not being able to hear you. But I thought just to be fair to you, it would probably be better if
you know that I've got a shoulder impingement and I'm having to reach over for my purple haze.
Your purple haze. Do you know? Did purple haze?
Yes.
Some people think it was Prince, but it wasn't. It was Jimi Hendrix. So, yeah. Prince. I just need to correct you on that. Yeah.
Both dead, of course. He was Purple Rain.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jimi Hendrix was very handsome and sexy in those little.
I have a Jimi Hendrix print in my lounge.
Oh, dear. Here we go.
And I actually quite like Sue. Was it Phil Lynott that was in.
Phil Lynott.
The Irish band.
Thin Lizzy.
Thin Lizzy, yeah, yeah.
He was like the English Jimi Hendrix. And do you know.
Apart from he was Irish.
Yeah.
Apart from that, yeah.
I like what you did there. But he was married to Leslie Crowther's daughter.
To Leslie Crowther?
Yeah, yeah.
Leslie
Cracker
Crowther's
Jack.
Daughter.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm. Come on,
Jack. Yeah. Oh, we used to love Cracker Jack, didn't we, Paul Andrews?
It's Friday. It's 5 o'clock. Yeah. It's Cracker Jack.
And what else did we used to like? Wooden Tops.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Watch with Mother.
Was a little bit sinister, though, on the swing. That Watch with Mother, I have sometimes thought, hello, Teddy.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a little bit sinister, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
When you look back,
yeah. Being scared, so, Laurie. Being very, very
come
scared.
Over here.
They're cool. Far too young, of course.
Right. I've got. It's about time we read some of these emails, because we've got loads, and we've also got another great guest that we want to talk to. So we want to make sure we get all of this in. I want to tell you about the Tech Expo UK, which is taking place later this year at the Clive Empson Suite at the Kent Events Centre at Detlin, at the County Showground. It's on Thursday, the 26th of September, and it's 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And it's the first ever event of its kind in the southeast of England. It's a full day exhibition for business owners wanting to connect with suppliers who can help them run, build and grow their business using the power of technology. Meet with over 100 suppliers from different sectors of technology, including IT support, cyber security, software, digital marketing, online accountancy, software as a service. Hear from 5 fantastic speakers and take part in 5 interactive workshops. The speakers are Brian Sutton from Microsoft, how Microsoft is developing to help business, Richard Bell, who's the Chief Technology Officer of 10 Intelligence on cybersecurity, Ben Abbott, who's the CEO of Maximum Media, getting your business ready for voice technology.
Ooh, yeah, voice is huge.
Alexa. Alexa's big.
Yeah. Well, you can listen to our show on the Alexa.
You can, if you say it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we say?
Yeah. Alexa, play Channel Radio 2 Talk Radio on iTunes.
No, on TuneIn.
On TuneIn. Yeah. See, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other speakers are Will Charlesworth from Cripps Law, talking about digital law and IP.
Fabulous.
And Bill Burton from Dale Carnegie. This is a twist. Being human in a digital world.
Oh,
interesting.
Right.
How to win friends and influence people.
Yeah.
The workshops are run by Amy McManus of AM Marketing, who are a Google partner. Keeping your business ahead in the digital marketing game. Aaron Taylor, who's the CEO of 6-2 Technology. Stop the sales pitch. Start the conversation. Mike Hacker, commonly known as Hacks, who is the CEO of Prisma Broadcast, how the proper use of video can propel your business forward. Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media, having an adaptable content strategy plan. Claire Derbyshire from LinkedIn, using LinkedIn for business. So if you're a supplier who doesn't want to miss the opportunity to showcase your brand to hundreds of key buyers and business owners who are looking for the right tech to help them with their business, meeting face-to-face with them in a buzzing trade show environment, do contact us for more details about exhibition packages. As a delegate, it's free to attend. All the details can be found on their website, which is techexpouk.com. Tech, T-E-C-H, expouk.com.
Very nicely read, Paul Andrews. There's an advanced social media masterclass with Alistair Frost.
There is indeed.
I don't know Alistair Frost, do I? I don't think. I need to meet him. So it's 25th of April. Is this microphone working? I can't hear anything on it.
I reckon it's you. I reckon you're not speaking properly.
I'll just go on like a professional I am. Digital Marketing Strategy Masterclass with David Shaw, who I do know very well. That's on the 14th of May. And then LinkedIn for Business Masterclass with Jade Pluck on the 30th of April. And these are all at the Village Hotel Maidstone. And you can find out more. That's better. You're twiddling me. Bestbusinessevents.co.uk. And I've got another one. Shall I read it, Paul Andrews?
Mm-hmm.
I know Lawrence is champing at the bit to come on and tell us about his easy as one, two, three. So Venues and Events Expo Southeast is at the Kent Event Centre. It's on Thursday the 9th of May. So this is a diary date. 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And it's a one-day exhibition for event professionals, venue finders, PAs, VAs, and business owners who'd like to connect with amazing venues and great suppliers for events. I'm going to read out the website where you can find out and book your free place. But they say if you're organising a business event or a meeting or a seminar or a conference or a workshop or even a team building or corporate party, you'll find everything you need in one place. So over 100 venues and event suppliers from the southeast. The website is www.venuesevents.co.uk and all details will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Fantastic. I need to tell you about Waffle 7.
Waffle 7?
Waffle 7.
Is that like the thing you said before, waffly, curmudgeonly, whatever it was?
Collywomple.
Yeah, that.
No, this is Waffle 7. And Waffle 7 is being sponsored by Orchard Employment Law. And it's almost here, is Waffle 7. Eat waffles, then waffle with others. It's networking with waffles, yeah? And it's taking place on Thursday, April the 18th, from 4 p.m. until 5:30 p.m. at Dragon Co-working, which is 7 and 8 New Road Avenue, Rochester. And this waffle, which is Waffle 7, is being sponsored by Orchard Employment Law. That's the lovely Gemma Fairclough Haynes and her team. And you can buy your ticket for Waffle 7 at eventbrite.com/waffle70. So do check that out and get along to Waffle. They're great events at Dragon Co-working. Waffle 7. Have a waffle and a waffle.
Might get the old dragon waltzing in as well.
There is a dragon. Have you ever been to Dragon Co-working?
No,
you should
really
go there. There is actually a dragon there.
I don't really
there
get
is.
Out much.
No, there is. There is a dragon
that wanders
there.
Around.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a... The hotel, remind me.
Sorry?
The hotel, the name of it, at Dragon Co-working.
St. George's Hotel.
Yeah, he was on our show once, wasn't he?
Roland Stanley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like his name.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the hotel anymore.
Oh, doesn't he?
No.
Who's got it now?
Somebody else.
Well, I know that, but who
I don't
is it?
Know.
Really?
I don't know. It's very, very hot off the press. Roland is still running Dragon, and he's also acquired the building next door. And I hope I'm not giving any away.
Probably
any secrets?
Are.
I probably am.
Probably
but
you
he's
are.
He's opening a co-working space for not-for-profits and charities.
Okay. I love Roland. I have to check it out. I will go. I'm just busy.
He's very entrepreneurial. I've got a lot of time for Roland. He's a very entrepreneurial man, and he really does get things done.
He's got the horse's teeth in today.
I borrowed yours.
There's a luncheon.
Oh, yeah, horse's teeth.
Thank you. Nay. There's a Women in Business luncheon. I like the word luncheon, Susie. Chilston Park Hotel. It's on manana, actually, 11:15 to 2:30. Wow, it's an early lunch. The speakers are Belinda Collins and Katie Day. And to find out more, go to kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk.
Fantastic. For those of you that don't know, the Business Bunker show here, we partner with the University of Kent Business School. They provide us with lots of very interesting information, research data, blogs, and appear on the show. And they're running a series of free events for business people in the evenings called Business Soundbite. And the next Business Soundbite is building customer loyalty through data analytics and digital marketing. It's a University of Kent Business School soundbite event, and it's Manana tomorrow, the 3rd of April, from 5:30 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. on the University of Kent Medway campus. That's down by the
Medway.
No, but it's down by
the police station.
Yeah, but the big outlet centre there, opposite the outlet centre down in Gillingham. Yeah. And that's data analytics and digital marketing, and that's tomorrow. And then on the 8th of May, they have an MBA lecture on strategic leadership in the era of digital transformation. That's taking place on the 8th of May, and that's at the University of Kent Business School itself, at the Sibson Building on the campus at Canterbury, 5:30, totally free, brilliant. And I believe one of the speakers is Tendai Vicky, and I haven't seen Tendai for a while. Great speaker. So do go along to one of those. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS, there's a whole list of all the ones that are coming up, and as they announce them, they appear on there. And they're all free events. You can go to all of them, and they're all fabulous. So do that.
And Chris Hyde has replied to me, and he says, I've just checked, and we're already following each other on my TOW Cindy account, unless you just did it quickly. No, I didn't, Chris. I don't do anything quickly, not at my age. Spectacular Soloists. Oh, this sounds nice. Mm. It's announced for the Leeds Castle Summer Concert. Lawrence, this sounds like our kind of thing, doesn't it? So the Leeds Castle Classical Summer Concert takes place on Saturday the 13th of July. And this year will be a unique celebration of Leeds Castle's remarkable 900-year milestone. And the organisers are delighted to announce that two sensational female performers, Alwyn Miller and Louise Dearman, and they'll be taking the stage, ensuring this spectacular event will be another one to remember. And also international conductor and host for the evening, John Rigby, is going to be there. And Alwyn Miller, for those of you who are not highbrow enough to know about him, sorry about her, it's a lady, is one of the UK's leading sopranos and currently in great demand, flying between appearances in Germany, the UK, Vienna, and Leeds Castle. For more information, go to leedscastleconcert.co.uk, and Breachers are once again the headline sponsor. So that's Saturday, the 13th of July this year. That sounds lovely. Can you take picnics and things there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I fancy that.
Oh, yes. Right.
You've read about Zoe ZC Live, haven't you? 31st of May, so I won't.
You're not going to do that one again?
No. Nope.
Are you not?
No. Nope.
Shall we talk to a guest then and have some common sense and nice and lovely stuff?
Mr. Taylor, Mr. Lawrence, so he's been waiting here patiently.
He's been incredibly patient listening to you waffle about nothing, hasn't he?
Yeah. And I was telling him earlier on, because he does accounting, you know.
He's what?
Well, bookkeeping and accounting.
Really?
Yeah. You can come on. You can go onto his website, you know, Paul.
Can you?
It's easy, EASY, as 123.uk.com. Go on and get all the tips you need. Because what I do is I bought this concertina thing and I put all my little receipts in every month. But it wears off, doesn't it? You start off all diligently, don't you? You think, I'm never doing
it. I've seen your receipts. They're all in the ashtray in your car.
Well, but, you know, every year is that awful time, isn't there, Paul, where you have to do your counts, and you know it comes around every year, and I sit there and I think,
and it always catches you unaware, because you never knew that January had a 31st in it, did you? And every year on January the 30th you go, blimey, who put January the 31st tomorrow?
But yeah. Who thinks of doing it just after Christmas?
Yeah,
I mean, when everybody's like in a really bad grumpy mood.
HMRC,
think of it, doing it just after Christmas, that's it.
They've all and there's, what's the other one in July or something that we get?
That's your tax return.
That's when you want to go on holiday. You don't want to think about tax.
Okay, so here's the bad news.
It's all wrong.
It's going to come four times a year.
No.
Mm.
Making tax digital.
Yeah.
No, is this why you're on?
This is why I'm going grey.
Yeah.
This is why I'm...
He's so, not grey.
So, Lawrence...
He's a good hair dye.
Lawrence, welcome to the Business
Thank
Monkey
you,
Show.
Thank you for having me.
Easy123UK, you tell us about it. Tell us what it is you do, because you've also got a very special product that you offer as well, haven't you?
So, it's been really interesting here today, sort of talking about, how people start their businesses and in particular the sort of... that they launch into a business, they launch into their self-employed status with their, they're brilliant at what they do. But often what they're really missing is the financial management side of stuff.
Oh, tell me about it.
And, you know, I've seen this. I've done various things in my long and varied career. And, but the constant through it has been bookkeeping, has been looking after people's books, looking after all the projects that I've worked on as well.
Right.
And, it was a couple of years ago where people started talking about making tax digital. And it wound me up, Paul. Right. It got me so annoyed because I thought, you know, HMRC have got these targets, the Google tax, Amazon's and the Facebook's and the Google's. Mm. And we know it's challenging because we know that they've spent millions of pounds, you know, on lawyers and accountants getting all these structures in place that are impossible to unpick. But here's a thought, why not try? Because there's millions and millions of unpaid of taxes there, of corporation tax being squirreled away to offshore accounts.
Yep.
And when I heard about making tax digital, I thought, oh, here we go again. You know, it's the little person being clobbered again because we're the easy target.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I've been self-employed for, you know, 21 years since I was 7, obviously. Don't look at the faces on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's... And what happens is that, as you say, I mean, 85% of self-employed people and private landlords and small businesses still use Excel or still use paper to try and keep on top, you know, and the annual tax return comes around, as you say, with just awful,
in all the wrong times.
Awful regularity. And so I started to get annoyed and I started to think if I had a blank slate and if I could just create something that was sort of fit for purpose, essentially. Essentially, think about what people really, really need to help run their business, to help keep on top of it. And what we found was that there are going to be those people who just don't care. They're just going to stick it in their bag of shame. Once, you know, stick it, off you go. You know, they don't really want to keep on top of it that much. Or they're going to go, these people, particularly the recently registered for self-assessment, the people newly into the self-employed, that really want to keep on top of it, and they're used to the smartphones and they're used to apps.
Yeah.
So what we found was that there was no, instead of trying to do everything, find one solution for everybody,
there's no one size fits all
in this. That's the multiple approach, is that, you know, talking about storage and talking about serviced offices as well. And the brilliance of the serviced offices for us is that we start off with 3 people, 3 desks, and then we want to expand. And you've got the capacity to say, right, okay, here's one for 10. So there's no one size fits all. So we thought, okay, we're going to do a couple of services here. We're going to create a couple of brands that are going to help people and really keep them going on this, because you just don't want businesses to fall down this plug hole, to fall off this cliff. If they're doing really well on the sales and on the marketing and yet they just can't keep on top of the finances, then this isn't good enough.
It's a real bugbear of mine as well. I have operated as an angel investor, and people come to me with business ideas, and I've been involved with startup businesses, and I just want to reinforce something you said right up front, Lawrence. So many people in business, myself included, when I started 30 odd years ago in business myself, I'm not interested in VAT. I'm not interested in bookkeeping. I'm not interested in bits of paper receipt. Yeah. I do what I do, and I enjoy doing what I do, not, you know, doing the paperwork.
Yeah.
And the vast majority of us start off like that.
Yeah.
The problem is it soon creeps up on us, and then we end up getting into problems of one kind or another. And the thing that I've learned is to come to terms with having to do that, because it's crucially important that you understand your financial situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so many businesses don't, and they don't understand it to the level of even some of the work they're doing is probably not worth them doing,
exactly,
because they're not making any money out of it. Yeah.
Exactly right. And the thing that we thought was, okay, so you've got to give people some really useful stuff. And the first thing that people often, that trips people up, is keeping on top of the tax, of the tax liability. So for instance, if you only do one tax return a year and you only do it in a hurry at the end, at the 31st of Jan, then you've got no idea what your tax liability is through that tax year. And, you know, it seemed to us that people were getting into some real problems with this. And so we wanted to give them visibility of that. So essentially what we did was we said, right, here's a service. It's called Tax Easy. And these are for the, this is for the people who just want. So we send a secure bag and they stick all their paperwork in it, stick all the digital stuff on a memory stick and drop it off at the post office. It gets sent to us by Parcel 4 securely. We do it all for you.
Oh, brilliant. Wow.
So we do it all for you for 240 quid.
Wow. So you'd have my little sort of, I've got little sandwich bags, you know, full of my receipts. No,
just tip it into your bag of shame. That's what we call it. It's a bag of shame. Send it off to us and we'll deal with it. And we'll give you, you don't need to submit it. Do it early.
Yeah.
You know, get on top of this early. In, you know, from the 6th of April, this will be available. You don't need to submit it. But at least you'll know the tax estimate of what you can then set aside. And we'd encourage you to set aside every single month. That's not at least 10% of that money is not yours. So you just got to get into the habit of putting it aside.
Yep.
And so that's for those people over there, the Tax Easy service. Then we thought there are loads and loads of people who want, that's for the last tax year, for the current tax year, because we see things in tax years. For the current tax year, you want to just keep on top of stuff. So if you've got one place that has everything in one place and it's a web and a mobile app and it's free and it's called Balance and it brings all of your information into one place. And then you can do some little calculations on it that'll say, okay, this month, yep, I ought to set aside that tax. Right. It also, the crucial thing that a lot of, as you guys well know, the crucial thing is late payers. And so we've got for free on part of this app is credit control, keeping on top of your invoices and your late payers, because it's absolutely, it's a killer. It really is. So we thought, okay, that's a useful thing to have. So we've got Tax Easy and we've got Balance. And Balance is a bit more of a do-it-yourself kind of thing. But at the end of the tax year, you could basically sign up to a service that we call Submit With You or Check and Submit, which is that you've got all your figures together in the same place. You've got all your paperwork in our digital locker. And that you buy our service, which is basically, we'll go through the figures with you. We know what's allowable.
Yep.
We know what the allowances might be in your particular sector. Yep. And then we will do a Zoom call with you. So whilst you sit there going through the grind of being on gov.uk and getting the submission done, we will sit on a call with you and advise you exactly what to put and exactly where the figures, because a lot of that tax return is, I think, deliberately confusing. There are double negative questions in there.
I'm in a fortunate position where I haven't had to do this for years. My company's of a size that I've got a financial director and a team of finance people. But my partner, Amanda, is a sole trader.
Yeah.
And she was doing a tax return a little while and she's going, what does this mean? come on. It's not
Can't
difficult.
Be that
easy, yeah. It's not difficult.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, I don't know what that means. And it was the word expenses.
Yeah.
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 They've gone, what are your expenses? And I go, well, that's what it costs you to do something. She said, no, I've already done that in a further bit up there.
Yeah.
And I'm going, so I read it. I don't know what they're talking about. They've used the same word to refer to two completely separate things.
Exactly.
It's the worst designed system I've ever seen.
And it's the most complicated tax system in the world, the UK's.
Yeah, exactly.
And the most unnecessarily complicated. Yeah. And again, that's not fit for purpose. We're going to have a situation in 5-6 years' time where the number of self-employed are going to outnumber the people working in the public sector. That's going to be 7 million. And private landlords, 1.6 million private landlords. And the people who are going to have a bit of employment over here, a side hustle over here, possibly a buy-to-let property over here, and some pension savings and investment, they're all going to be on self-assessment, and they're all going to be facing this absolute
can
monster.
Yeah.
And I tell you what we're going to face as well, which I just want to talk about for a second. So we've got Making Tax Digital coming in.
Don't talk for a second. We need this.
For VAT registered companies from April, from the 6th of April. And, you know, a lot of those people will already have accountants and bookkeepers. Mm. So in 2 years' time, we reckon, in April 2021, they'll bring it in for everybody.
Mm.
But what they will do, and what I don't think, I think this is part of the Brexit smoke and mirrors. It was Philip Hammond in the autumn statement suddenly started to slip in the idea that he would then reduce the VAT threshold to 40,000.
Mm.
So what you're going to have is a potential double whammy.
Yep.
In 2021, which is you're going to have quarterly tax reporting. And again, I kind of agree with a lot of that. I don't agree that, you know, you should leave it once a year. You should have a final reckoning. That's fine. But if you then bring in, if you reduce the VAT from 85 to 40,000 to bring in so many more people. And if you can't keep on top of one tax return a year, you're going to struggle for four. Yeah. But then introduce VAT into that. And we all know what will happen. And I think, Paul, it is absolutely disgraceful that they are thinking of bringing this in at this time. He was thinking of bringing it in now, right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Until the FSB stepped in and rightly said.
Yeah, thanks to the FSB. They're amazing.
And because we all know what's going to happen. As soon as people, you're selling a product for 100 quid, you've got to stick 20% on it. It's going to be for 120. Well, no tradesperson is going to do that. They're all going to stick at 100 quid because they don't want to price themselves out of it, and they will absorb that VAT element.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is the most disgraceful stealth tax that will have been inflicted on the British. Well, in 2 years' time, we might not even be British, but I'm not even going to go there. But,
But no, you're absolutely right. And the problem with these things is they're developed because they're obsessed with raking in money to keep paying their debts. Because the country's broke, basically. But the fact is, they don't think through the ramifications of what they're doing because they don't have to do it. They don't think through how much of an overhead, you know, for a florist or a plumber or a nail bar technician to suddenly have to start doing VAT returns and pricing in VAT in the kind of things that they do. I agree with you 100%, and I just think it's outrageous.
There's got to be some way of you know, I mean, it winds me up so much because, you know, they're basically saying this. We've got 4.8 million self-employed right now, and there's no way of organising those. Well, there should be a way of bringing these people together to give them one voice, because otherwise we're just going to have this stuff inflicted on us time and time again.
Well, a lot of the problem is again, the government don't understand, and politicians and people who design these systems don't understand. It's like they bought in IR35 a few years ago.
Yeah.
IR35 was bought in entirely because they felt that a lot of high-end contractors that were operating personal service limited companies were paying themselves dividends, and therefore avoiding the national insurance. Okay, it's a moot point. They weren't paying the national insurance. Perfectly legal, perfectly entitled. So they invented IR35, which is a dog's breakfast. All they actually needed to do was introduce NI tier 5. And put in a whole tier, especially, but no, they put in this obscure thing that can only be resolved in a court of law.
Exactly. So who wins on that?
Exactly.
Every single time.
I have a question from Chris Hyde, who's listening in and watching. Hello, Chris. And he's asking Lawrence, he says, first of all, he says, love this from Easy as 123 UK. They, you know who, go after the small people. Ain't that blooming the truth? Have you seen the awful letters that they can send? And then he says, about your offer, Lawrence, he says, is that a flat £240 fee regardless of volume of receipts?
Absolutely.
He's thinking of my sandwich bags, Lawrence. I've got quite a few.
He's in your sandwich bag, hasn't he? So
it is. It's just one size fits all, no hidden cost.
That's brilliant.
Stick it in
That's
there.
A no-brainer.
Absolutely.
I'll send my Constantina over.
I'm with you on this, and I'm actually worse. I mean, one of the biggest travesties I've seen is this clawback of historic tax loans, which people have been committing suicide over. I mean, it's just unbelievable behaviour from the government.
Yeah.
It is out of order, completely. And how can you retrospectively bring in a tax and then charge people from 20 years ago when what they did 20 years ago was perfectly legal? That is outrageous.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely.
It is outrageous.
Well, it smacks of a government that's just desperate for cash, isn't it?
Utterly.
You know, a bankrupt government.
But as I said, the Google tax, it won't solve everything, certainly not. But I mean, you just know what's going on at the top end. You know that Google just to single them out, because this is known as the Google tax, you know that they're employing these people to sort of get into HMRC. Well, there's a little bit of people working for both. And then, the law changes. I mean, it's just...
The thing about transfer pricing and all that kind of stuff is that we live in a digital world, and tax authorities still haven't caught up with that.
Way 20
and they're
years
so ago. Way behind, yeah. And they keep trying to invent ways of clobbering people for tax that are so easy to, yeah. You know, for a big corporation, you just go, nah, sorry. Yeah. I mean, it's without diverting this to the EU just ridiculously passed Article 13, which is the worst piece of legislation ever. But it's ridiculously easy to get around it from a legal point of view. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because all you do is you base your servers in Mongolia. Yeah. And it's just a software switch. Yeah. And they just don't seem to understand.
Yeah.
They just don't seem to understand technology and the fact that it's a global business and therefore you need global taxation.
Yeah.
You know, a global system of handling this. Otherwise, you're never going to get anywhere.
And the thing that strikes me, Paul, is that, you know, we're all in a situation, you know, we've been self-employed, we've run small businesses. Actually, we want to pay a fair tax.
Yeah.
We want to pay a fair tax. Yeah. So we don't have any issue with that at all.
But we don't want it to take over our lives and become laborious. And
that's where it comes. When you say you've been sitting there submitting it and I feel that that tax return makes you deliberately feel like a criminal. Like you're about, as soon as you know, I do it and I'm about to hit the submit button and I sort of think, oh my word, you know, have I perjured myself? And to have a tax system like that, which makes people think, oh, you know, I'm not going to be able to do this. And then you just get, well, you know, it's not that onerous. Actually, all the compliance stuff and the financial management stuff isn't too bad. Actually, when you come to it, it shouldn't be that bad for people on an everyday basis. But because as you said, Jules, you know, it's because you leave it a while, you sign up to this latest app, you try and do it yourself, you try and do a little bit.
Anyone that runs a small business yeah. or a medium business is doing everything anyway. We're all doing our websites, our social media, our marketing, and we also have to do our sums as well at the same time.
One of the problems, and I came across this with one of my employees just recently, who said to me, do you know what? You keep giving me a pay rise, but I don't earn very much. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. I look at their pay slip and they're not, you know, they're on about 30 grand a year. So still standard rate tax.
Yeah.
Do you know, once their deductions have been taken out, they were paying 48% of their wages, gross wages in deductions for, tax, national insurance, workplace pension, student loan, company car.
Yeah.
50% of their earnings almost were going in taxes. And what they've been doing over years is to try and hide from you what they're taking is they invent all these little taxes that they tack on the end.
Yeah.
And that's where the money's going.
And that to me is purely down. That was, I think, 1992. It was the election, particularly when the Sun basically called out Labour and said, you cannot increase income tax.
Yeah.
And for every political party ever since, it's been absolute suicide to suggest. I mean, the Lib Dems said, oh, we'll put a penny on for education.
Yeah.
I mean, these are sensible ideas. Mm. If people know where the tax is going, they'd be prepared to pay it. But the stealth tax element is the thing that just winds me up.
And you know, the student tax that Paul just mentioned, my son and his girlfriend, between them, they owe about $94,000.
Oh, no.
And they're paying at 6%.
Oh, this is going to be
it's going to blow up in the face.
It's a blow-up bubble.
Plus, it's paying rent in London.
It's like everything else that politicians touch. Yeah, it's all short-termism, and they never think of the unintended consequences of anything.
Yeah.
By introducing this, students, I do a thing called 30-30, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute, actually, which is a program we do in schools where we talk to young people. Generation Z, who are the current generation coming into the workforce, those, if you want to feel old, those people born after the year 2000 that have just started work.
it's not possible.
Generation Z. In my talking to them, 60 to 70% of them are not going to university.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just not going to go. Yeah. They know it's not worth the money.
Yeah.
That has an enormous impact on our universities. Yeah. It has an enormous impact on our workforce and our qualifications. And it's purely down to government greed of putting in place these loan systems that everybody's gone and worked out. Do you know what? It's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's not worth doing. Yeah.
Coming out with that debt when you were 22.
It's crazy.
And then, you know, for a lot of them paying London rents, you know, it's, I mean, my son was paying $860 for one double room in Bow, sharing a kitchen with eight people.
Yeah.
And no living room. It's like going back to Rising Dam.
We used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, lick road clean with our tongue, and then dad would whip us to bed.
Yeah.
I remember that sketch.
You had a bed?
Yeah. Luxury.
But that's it. I mean, you've said that clearly, yeah, people really need a little bit of help to keep on top of stuff, yeah, and to bring it, because we're, as you said, we've got so many things. We're employers, we're carers, we're, yeah,
we,
you know,
we've got
everything. And I think where I started from was,
you're an accountant, I take it.
Well, no, I've been a bookkeeper for many years, and then I had this idea.
What is the difference between a bookkeeper and an accountant? I do know, but I want
bookkeeper
you
is just meat. Sorry to denigrate. You know, it's not.
You
at all.
You do the actual
nitty gritty, yeah, and you get the figures ready, and you reconcile them, and then essentially the accountant or the tax advisor will then sort of do their bit.
So you would
if you need an accountant, you don't if you're sole
I've got
trader.
Two accountants, but
you do if you're a limited company, obviously,
yeah, but you would take away all the angst and all that stuff where I sit at night going to,
yeah, and take away all the human error, because what we wanted to do was we wanted to blend the tech. I didn't want to just create another app. I wanted to create something. You've seen this in the investment arena where you've got robo advisors and just these apps, and people, you know, as you say, they have them on their phone for a little bit and then they give up.
Yeah.
And I wanted to blend the human. So the fact that we're creating this network of bookkeepers, of qualified bookkeepers from the IAB to come and come and work with us and work. They're all self-employed. So they know, we all know what the gig is.
So you've got
that ability to then keep on top of stuff with the technology, but also have a human voice at the end of it and help you through those tricky bits that you find, because we're not criminals. We want to pay our fair tax, but you know, the tax return is a big issue for
and
a lot of people.
By stuff. Well, I've just slipped £240 cash into Lawrence's pocket.
I didn't see it.
Yeah. A couple of sandwich bags.
yeah.
Just to get us started.
Yeah, but you should have given him clean sandwich bags, because your receipts have got salad cream all over them.
Mayonnaise, please, darling.
Oh, mayonnaise. Sorry, I didn't realise you had an overseas business.
Yeah. I have, actually.
Yeah, I know you have. Lawrence, that's fascinating. If people want to find out more about the products that you're offering, how can they do that? What's the best way of doing that?
Just get straight on the website. It's www.easyas123.uk.com. And it's we're launching stuff on the 8th of April, so next Monday, so into the new tax year.
Fantastic. That link is on the Kent Business Radio website, and it will stay there under this show number, which is show number 421, I do believe. But it will be there, and you can find it quite easily. So the link will be there as well. For the moment, Lawrence, thank you so much. That's really interesting. And
very interesting.
Totally on the zeitgeist of where we are with this. It's you're right. You know, as self-employment goes up, and millions more people will be doing things. Charles Handy in the 1970s wrote a book about a portfolio career, and that is coming true big time now, where people in employment still do things on the side. They buy to-let properties, holiday homes, all kinds of other things that they have, which you have to declare as businesses. And, you know, they have to do those kind of things. So you're absolutely right. We've still got some tweets coming in. They've woken up a bit. It was a bit slow on the old Twitter today, wasn't it? We normally get about 9 million tweets, but we only got 8 million this week.
Yeah. I don't think it's been particularly slow. Chris said it was a bit slow, but I think it's been quite busy.
Okay. And I've got some emails. Have you got some emails to read?
No, I've read all mine.
Have you?
Hand me some over.
No, I'm going to read mine.
I read them so much better than you, after all.
Really? Well, I've turned your mic off, though. That's the problem.
He does that to me, you know, Lawrence.
You can read some of the tweets, though.
Yeah. Mostly they're about scoff and quaff. Oh, it's a superior show, 11 to 12.
As if I believe that.
They are. They're all coming up.
Well, they're all saying, get that scoff and quaff, or there's rubbish. We want more Business Bunker.
There's a Sophie Armstrong, who is a singer, quite a well-known singer. She's Summerland UK.
Yep.
And she follows. She's six strings and one extraordinary voice. She's one of the top 100 judges on BBC altogether now. And she follows me because we both have a thyroid illness, low thyroid. And she's tweeting in, listening, you know, listening to me on the bunker. I think the show she really wants is Scoff and Quaff. She's got confused.
Oh, dear.
And then Stephen Scuffle is tweeting me about employment for hospitality, which is what we talked about on Scoff and Quaff. But he's doing it to the Business Bunker. So it's all getting very confusing. And a big hello to Mid-Kent Travel. They sound interesting. They're new. Mid-Kent Travel and Tourism Department in the Maidstone campus. And they comprise of crew, frontline training and BTEC Level 3. And they're all sitting there looking fabulous.
Fantastic. Chris Hyde of Camgenics has been tweeting all the way through. But just Vanilla Web, Jewel Circum, what a great guest Lawrence was. Easy as 123 UK. Brilliant.
Called and he Sandals also Sanctuary. Loved Sue as well, McGowan.
Oh, he did. He loved her earlier. Yeah. He loved her earlier.
There's no favouritism. Yeah,
so much love.
Yeah, yeah.
No favouritism.
We spread the love round here. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just amazed you got to the word, that kerfuffly word that you said, wombly kerfuffly.
Curry womple.
Yeah, that. And zeitgeist in the same show.
Zeitgeist. Yeah, like the zeitgeist. The zeitgeist of Curry womble.
Yeah. Yeah. As a book, I think, coming out. Yeah.
I've since I discovered I was a Curry womple, I've been made up. I had no way of describing myself up until then.
But while Paul reads that and gets prepared, I've got one other question. So we're talking about the student loan. Why don't the students get together and protest? You know,
well, I think they have, haven't they?
Well, I don't know. I'm not seeing. I mean, why is it allowed that it's at 6% interest? It's too much. It's too much.
It's
come on, Lawrence, get it off your chest.
Yeah, but the problem is that.
My maternal instinct. But
the reality is, and we've got to face this as a society, is that what we've discovered out of this Brexit fiasco, no matter which side of it on, is you can't trust the politicians because they're all a bunch of devious people that none of them have. They all stood on manifestos that every single one of them has overturned in one way or another. So if you can't rely on who you're voting for, how do you change anything?
It's a shambles.
The whole thing is a shambles. And the only thing that they proved is that we need to do something about it. And even yesterday, I spent yesterday in the House of Commons and talking to loads of MPs that are wandering around the House of Commons, and they're all saying the same thing. This is a disaster. It's a shambles. We don't, you know, they were queuing up for the second set of useless votes last night, and they were going, this is pointless. We know they're going to lose. We've all got to sit around here all night, press a few buttons, go through a few lobbies to do what we did last night. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Utterly ridiculous.
And
it's a shambles.
The scary thing is, if May goes, Theresa May goes, I can't see anyone that I would want to run the country at the moment.
But you know,
apart from Lawrence, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Lawrence and Sue. Let's vote Lawrence.
It's a dream
Sue.
Team.
Yeah.
Paul is president.
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, I was talking to Chris Hyde yesterday, and I did put him up. I offered him a position. But he wanted to be
horizontal.
Speaker. No, he wanted to be speaker. Yeah. Order. So.
He's got that nice hammer as well.
Yeah. Order.
Gavel.
Calm down. Yeah. No, we live in very interesting times, and I think the one thing we've learned is that government in this country is a shambles, and we need to get a grip of it, and we need to sort it out. And I think, from my point of view, I don't know how you guys feel, the old two-party system from the 20th century has just passed its sell-by date.
Yeah.
We need to move on from that antagonistic, you know, shouting and screaming and arguing every Wednesday. It's just pointless.
Yeah.
We're not getting anywhere with this. You know, we need to start thinking about how to organise ourselves properly.
Well, you can see those two parties splitting.
Oh, absolutely.
Easily, and then the centre.
You know, it's part of the zeitgeist again. It's part of what's happening with a digital world.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that we can talk to each other in any part of the globe within seconds hasn't made big globby conglomerates. What it has done is enable you to build long tail associations. So effectively you can gather together people of a like-minded ilk on a particular subject from all over the world.
Yeah.
And in the past there may have been 10 of you in the UK, so it was pointless. Now there's 500,000 of you spread across the globe. You have a power that you can bring together on a particular subject, but it doesn't mean to say you agree with each other on every other subject. So we have much more pressure point politics than single policy politics. Yeah. In the 20th century, we had left or right. You know, it was either big government or, you know, the private sector. And that was it. There were your two choices. Now it's so much more nuanced than that, that, you know, we need to find a way of governing that reflects that nuance. And our parliamentary system just doesn't allow for that.
Yeah.
Interesting. We had a tweet from the lovely folks at Telcare. They're the telecoms people over there on the Medway City Estate of Rochester. And they just say, not only does the Business Bunker support local businesses in Kent, but they host a wonderful radio show to promote them all. So do please continue to listen in. Well, thank you for that. That's very kind of you. Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I've got a couple of things to tell you about. Jules hasn't because she's run out.
Well, you know, I, as Lawrence will be my witness, I diligently read mine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'd like you to help me build the gap, bridge the gap between school and business.
I can do that.
Yeah. As business owners and managers, we'd like you to join us and the FSB to inspire the next generation of talent at schools. We take a program called 30-30 into schools. It's an entirely free program for schools where we spend 2 hours talking to A-level students about the world of work. And we aim to take 30 businesses to meet 30 A-level students and to inform and educate them on what we require as businesses from the next generation. We run these on a regular basis. The next two events are at the Herne Bay School in July and Haysbrook School, Tunbridge in September. We've just run two. So these are the next two. So they're a bit of a way off yet, but we'll let you know the details, and the details will be able to find on campusinsradio.co.uk/30-30. But do join us on that. It's very rewarding and very interesting.
I did one about 6 months ago.
Did you?
It's brilliant. It's really, really good. And not only about what the what businesses need potentially from the new for the new workforce, but talking and having a conversation with the new workforce coming through,
absolutely,
what they need.
Yeah. Save the date. The annual Southeast Construction Exhibition is going to take place on Thursday, the 26th of September at the South of England Event Centre, Ardingly. It's in East Sussex. You can book your place at constructionexpouk.co.uk. There's also going to be a Southeast Construction Awards dinner, and you can nominate people for a construction award, and the sponsor of the construction awards are the lovely folk at All Health Matters, who are an occupational health company. And and to find out more about the construction awards, it's the same website at the moment, constructionexpouk.co.uk.
Chris Hyde has just said a new show, Jules Serkin, Scoff and Bunker or Business Quaff.
I just need to tell you, to remind you to join us for the Business Bunker Extra Show this Friday, 11 o'clock, with the lovely Amanda and her co-host, Ben, oh, I've lost it now. Ben is co-hosting the show with her, and her guest is Zoe Cairns. That's the Business Bunker Extra Show, 11 o'clock on Friday. But we've run out of time. We'll see you all next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.